Welcome back again to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I'm Brian, here with, I'm going to just assume at this point, you're fairly permanent fixture of the podcast, Blake Weiland. Of the Tone Mob podcast himself. In fact, maybe this is Chasing the Tone Mob podcast. You know, at this point.
You think that is that the new title of Chasing the Tone Mob?
Chasing the Tone Mob.
That sounds kind of scary. Like you're like Wampler Pedals is coming to get the Tone Mob for some reason. I don't know what that would be. Maybe it's a good thing, but it sounds kind of frightening.
Stop buying our pedals. I'm trying to sleep.
You're trying to sleep. I mean, I can. I'm pretty sure I can buy your pedals, and you could ship them when you wake up. Is that cool?
Oh no, I like to leave all my ringers on and have all notifications on. That way, all I hear all night: ding, ding,
ding,
ding. No, I'm kidding.
Are you like me? I turn all notifications off, and I just check them when I have time to check them. Because if it didn't, it would do that. It would be ding, ding, ding.
There's certain ones that I leave on and off. Definitely all Facebook notifications are off. All Instagram notifications are off. YouTube comments I still, as of right now, leave up because I actually, you know, whenever someone posts something that's really stupid or
yeah.
And I say something like stupid like, hey, great podcast. Check out this video of this girl in a bikini or something. I'm like, okay,
that comment
needs to be deleted, you know?
Yep.
So other than that, I mean, like, if people are like, I've got a guitar, you know, show too, you should check it out. I usually leave that stuff on there. Unless it gets out of hand
right. And
they're like doing it every time or something, but.
Of course.
And then occasionally there's people on there like, I hate you and I want to kill you. And I'm like, you know what? I just want you out of my life, so delete, block.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But other than that, you know, if someone's just like, you know, I don't like your pedals, then I'm like, okay, well, they're not for everybody. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's a respectful thing, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it got there. But oh, yeah, that's right. And so the notifications I do have on are Snapchat.
Oh, gotcha.
But that's because...
Yes, your favorite.
Right now, I am so heavily invested in Snapchat. Yes, I am I'm loving it more and more every day.
Just loving it.
Yep.
Loving it so much.
Yes. So
I won't say I'm loving it, but I am enjoying it much more than I initially thought I would.
I think to get the most out of it, you have to find some people that you really enjoy hearing about, you know? So, like, I follow John Mayer, who's freaking entertaining as all get out. Mm-hmm. Zane Carney is another really entertaining guy I like to follow. I do follow Premier Guitar, the Guitar Journal, which is like a French site. What else? Shoot. Gear related.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple other guys, but not all of them post some stuff. Oh, NYC Big Ear, right? Big Ear?
Yeah. Big Ear.
Yeah. He posts some stuff. He's a funny guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it's like there's a few businessy type guys I follow.
Right.
I you know who
old
DJ
Gary
Khaled
v,
is?
I'm sure.
Gary V. Definitely call Gary V. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know who DJ Khaled is by chance?
Only because he's the Snapchat guy.
Right. Right.
That's the only thing I know about him.
So I follow him a little bit. I'm pretty tired of him, but I've actually tired of like because it's kind of the same thing all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And for the people who don't know what I'm talking about, you'll just have to Google it. It's hard to explain, but I actually thought of doing like a because I am in the middle of big redneck town, and you know my family's farmers and everything, so I'm allowed to kind of mm-hmm. make fun of the fact that I'm pretty much a redneck, right?
Right.
So I thought about making a redneck version of his channel because. And like it's hard to explain over audio, but like you know, it, every day he's like walking down his path by his pool, you know, and he's looking at all the nice stuff he has, and he's got his own personal chef. So like, he's you know he's rolling in his Benz and all this stuff. And I was like, mm-hmm. So I thought about you know, especially with all the filters you can do, I thought about just playing a persona, like walking down a pathway of success, and be going down the gravel driveway or whatever. And you know, instead of getting in my Benz, I'll get in my golf cart, you know.
Right.
Put my shotgun in back. Be like, we're going to go see if we can find us some food for the day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, something like that. So right. I thought about making a parody channel of his channel just for fun, because for some reason that amuses me. I don't know why. I guess deep inside, but I'm like a 14-year-old boy. So.
Well, whatever. you know, you don't really get much past 14 to 16 years old anyway, you know.
Yes.
We're kind of over it at that point.
That's true. You know, I mean, the term they use now, the term the kids are using now is called adulting, you know. So, you know, you hear people say, I'm not adulting anymore today. I'm clocking out, you know.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Well, you know, then there's the other side of the equation where maybe I was born a 70-year-old man. There could be that also.
We did have a discussion where you are quite the old man inside. You know, what was it I had to explain to you today? Was it the fact that dial-up no longer is like a thing for most of us here in America?
Well,
were you still checking your AOL like mail and be like?
Well, no one was hitting me up on AOL IM anymore, and I'm like. I didn't understand. It was confusing.
You were in the Portland chat room, and you're like, how come there's nobody here, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand. I was in there. I'm like, here we are. You know, it's 2016. We should be talking to each other on the internet. Like, where is the connection here, people? Come on.
What's this foosbook thing everybody's on? Foosbook, something like that.
Foosbasils. I don't know what it is. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of funny though. Sometimes I really do feel that way. I'm like, "What? What are you kids talking about? What do you mean it's lit up in here? Like, what are you talking about? That's just stupid.
It's actually dark in here. I have no idea what you're even saying."
It's lit, fam. I'm like, "I'm not your fam. What are you whatever. What are we talking about today?"
Well, 10 minutes in this or whatever, we have a couple different topics.
Okay.
The first one is we talk about why quarter watt and eighth watt resistors are no, I'm teasing. I'm totally not going to talk about that.
Oh, I was like, really? I'm going to.
No.
You know, it's weird. My ears perk up when you get nerdy.
No, we're not going to talk about resistor wattage and how they affect sound and tonality.
I have a theory, but you said we're not going to talk about it. So.
Yeah, the theory. Yeah, basically they don't for guitar pedals.
Exactly. So,
okay.
Yeah. And not at least pedal wise.
Nah. Mm-mm. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one for you. Actually,
okay.
We kind of had one.
Right.
So as you know, much of the Wampler line has slowly been moving to relay bypass. Relay based true bypass, I should call that, because even though it is true bypass, it doesn't use those clunky okay, here's your nerdy part, those clunky triple pull double throw switches.
Yes,
you know, which are
the standard ones that everybody knows,
right? The standard, probably blue ones and or red ones or black ones inside your pedal. You know, we're moving towards relay bypass and more of a silent switching style of relay bypass, I should add.
Very cool.
So yeah, go figure out how you make a relay quiet. Yeah, there's tricks to it.
Yeah, because yeah, they click. I hear them. I'm around with relays every day, which is kind of unrelated, but like they click.
Well, and they click because it's literally a mechanical part that electricity is telling it to move.
Yes.
So we're,
yes, it is.
A foot switch is like your foot is stomping on the switch, and that movement makes mechanical changes inside that switch to redirect, you know, electricity or whatever you're running through it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess really you're only going to be running electricity through it. So like water's not going to work.
Well, tone dust, you'll migrate some tone dust through there.
Right. So, you know, with relays, you're basically using an electrical signal of some sort and saying, whenever this switch goes down, make the relay do X, right? So close or open or whatever. You know, and at the same time, you can say, with some other parts, you can say, and if power is removed, you should revert to the off state right before power is removed.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So, and for
like a normally open, normally closed type situation.
Yes, but the thing with a lot of relays is, I've seen this on some other companies that do relays. When you remove power, sometimes they're just stuck in that state that they're last in.
Oh, okay. You know?
So,
interesting.
So, you know, if you turn the pedal off, you're like, or, you know, you lose power, you're like, whoa, I've got no sound now, you know? Mm-hmm. And pressing the switch doesn't do anything because I can't send electricity to a pedal that doesn't have electricity.
You know? Right. what a concept.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to design around that sort of thing. Now, I personally, I literally can go full nerd on this. So let me ask you what you think when you see a pedal with relay bypass versus, regular mechanical switch bypass.
What I think, my general thought, like before I kind of knew what was going on, I sort of know what's going on in there. So, my initial thought is like, that's usually on a higher tech pedal. 'Cause the first pedal I ever got that had relay bypass was the, TC Electronics Nova Drive.
Yep.
If anybody's familiar with that, it is a digitally controlled analog drive pedal. So the dry signal is all analog, but all the functionality is digitally controlled. So you can have presets and blend things. It's a very nice, very cool drive pedal that I don't know why it didn't take off better than it did. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it was kind of more advanced than the standard Tube Screamer variant or something. And it had relay bypass. And so my thought was always that was kind of a higher tech, you know, more modern solution. And through the little bit of investigation I've done, I'm starting to realize that it's more reliable than the old-fashioned stomp switch, which I'm all about. After that, that's my knowledge of it is pretty limited in how it – I know it greatly affects – the design and layout of a pedal. You can't just throw it in there.
Right.
It has to be designed with that in mind.
Yes, and you want to put the relays at a very certain spot as well. Most people don't know that, but yeah. Layout-wise, you need to put the relays in a certain spot. I've totally just, like, brain farted and lost my thought.
we were talking about, like people are wondering, like,
yes,
why
that's right.
You were doing
that's
this.
Right, that's right. I just got it. So mm-hmm. when you see relay bypass, do you think most people think soft switch? It's not true bypass.
I think a lot of people do. The ones I first encountered were, you know, it was made very clear in the marketing and in all of the sales materials that this is true bypass. Like this is, but you know, if I just seen it, I probably wouldn't think so.
Right.
You know, without doing some digging.
Right, because we're used to that, you know, clunky triple pull double throw switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been trained by, who was the first, maybe Mike Fuller, maybe? Maybe, if I had to guess, maybe that, in at least in big batches, was using that switch and talking about
triple pulls. I would assume so, yeah.
So, you know, we've kind of well, not everyone just getting into the gear game, but if, you know, if you've been around gear for a while, you're kind of raised on the idea that those are the switches that make the true bypass, you know?
Right. Yes.
And it's really not true. Those switches are actually not designed for audio levels to be switching. They're actually designed for higher current type stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we just use those switches and routed audio through it. Now, that doesn't mean that like it's going to hurt anything. It just means that mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily made for someone to click off a bazillion times and stomp on real hard, you know?
Yeah.
So the bad thing about those switches, and this is – I hate this. It doesn't matter, you know, – little side secret here. Most of those switches come from like one or two companies. So even though it has like a different casing on it and stuff like that, you're pretty much getting the same thing no matter what you do. Wow. Okay, it's coming back to me.
Mr. Wampler. Mr. Wampler, we are discussing why you are switching to relay bypass.
This is See, the problem is I've been on the phone all day long. And so my brain is just like, you know, I'm ready to shut down now.
Oh, yeah, it is the end of the day. So we'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, so just bear with me here. I promise.
We'll get there.
I'll get my act straight. I have no idea where I was at now, dude.
Just kidding. Well, you were kind of describing. Let's go take a step back here. We're basically describing the differences, right? But we haven't really gotten to the hard detail of why you wanting to go away from from the original style.
Thank you so much. I should call you more often when I forget things.
Well, you can see how well that works. My wife would say that doesn't function well, and my boss too. But whatever.
So yeah, those switches. You know, you get a batch. Every manufacturer tests them. You know, you can stomp them up and down 50 times or whatever. Like whenever you're testing your pedal out, and you weed out the bad from the good, because there are some of those switches. You know, you step on them 4 times and there's a failure.
Yep.
The problem is, you know, if you step on them 100 times, you don't know, like 75 switches later, maybe it fails, and there's no way to test for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't test a switch to say, do you think this might fail? You know, now there's some caveats there that, like, for example, if you overheat a switch, it's going to fail prematurely.
Of course.
So, you know, even as far as construction, I mean, your soldering iron needs to be held on, if you're using a soldering iron, for optimum, longevity. It needs to be heated at a certain temperature and held onto that spot for a very specific amount of time for the optimum longevity. You know?
That's not something I really thought about, having put a couple things together. I just, like, melt the solder on there and get it on.
Well, and really that's how most people think. And it's really a big pain in the butt. And plus, like I said, you never know. I mean, those switches are designed to last, what, 15 or 20,000 cycles, I think?
I think that's it, yeah.
Cycles being every time you push down on it. So, but, you know, what if it fails at 500 or 1,500, you know? And granted, it's a small, it's not a big percentage. It's a small percent. But it does happen. And, you know, when that happens, you just basically you just fix the pedal. You know, you put a new switch in it.
Yeah. Now, as you have sold a couple pedals,
a few?
Like one or two pedals in your life, I'm going to go out on a limb, and this is kind of not a fair question because I already know the answer and I've already heard this from other people, but number one warranty item I'm going to guess is a stomp switch.
Yep.
So.
Guess what the number two item is.
Number two?
Yep.
I didn't think about that. Input jack?
Nope. Good call, though. They probably plugged
the wrong power supply in.
Actually, very rarely that happens. Very rarely.
I'm glad for that.
But we also have some protection MOSFET in there that, like, if someone plugs the wrong power in it, it just doesn't do anything. So usually, not every time, but it's supposed to not tear anything up. Don't go experiment. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
There's been times where it has burnt that MOSFET up, and you're like, well, better than like losing the entire pedal. You know, at least we can put a new MOSFET in there.
Yeah.
MOSFET being a type of transistor, more or less, folks.
Yes.
But, you know, the relay bypass stuff, it lasts a lot longer, so you can get into hundreds of thousands.
Wait a second. Hmm? What's the number two? We're going off track.
Right over that. Yeah, number two would be LEDs.
Oh, really?
LEDs.
I would have guessed that.
We were taught that LEDs never go out, and it's not true. Now, they don't burn out like a light bulb, but there is a failure rate with LEDs.
I would have never guessed that. That's crazy.
It's odd. It's very odd.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the thing.
And again, it's not like for every every 10 pedals we send out, we get 7 back and have to replace switches and LEDs. I mean, we're talking like fractions of a percent, right? So,
right.
But I mean, you know, you're selling thousands of pedals a year. That's still a good amount that you're fixing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to, you're always looking for higher quality LEDs, for example. You're always looking for, well, at least with us, we switched relays, once or twice we went to a different type of relay that was just, the first one was great. We just found a better one still yet.
Yeah.
And then, the circuitry in between, those relays, with the way the throws work, the throws being the metal parts that move around, as you've heard relays at your work, you can hear that relay hit, and it hits hard. Like, it's not just a soft, I mean, it's a boom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, if you don't mute that circuit at all during that time, then what's going to happen is, like, the click that you hear in that pedal is going to be substantially louder than a normal, switch.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of, you know, your foot stepping down on those throws to make them move is not going to be near as fast as electrical current making the throws move inside that relay.
Right.
So, and plus, you know, it hits the circuit board, which creates some more noise. And, it hits the case inside the relay, which is mounted on the circuit board. Anyways, long story short, it can...
it's noisy.
it can be noisy, so you really have to... And what we do, we actually mute the sound for a split second just right when those throws hit.
Oh.
And that creates more of a silent bypass. So, and I've seen other companies do some similar things. Now, there's a range in there. Some companies that I've played their stuff, and the mute is too long. So you step on it, and your sound cuts out for, you know, a third of a second or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you notice it. You'll notice that. So we had to really find, like, what is that range that the person is not going to detect that? You know?
That's got to be tiny, like, to not notice, yes. I would think.
Yeah, it's pretty tiny, but there is a fine range. Less than that, you hear more of a click. More of it, then you start hearing pauses. So, and no.
That's fascinating. I had no idea that's how that was done.
And I am not telling you what that number is, so sorry.
I knew wasn't going to ask.
Don't even push me there.
Hey, Brian. What's the number?
3.
three what?
Yes.
Three yes what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, are you trying to say you just gave out this useful, juicy information, but you're not going to totally tell the competition what's up?
Exactly.
I see.
Already
they'll figure it out.
I already told everybody how to modify a bunch of guitar pedals. What do you mean? That's right.
Come on, give away all the secrets. Don't make me go buy that their book for $600 or whatever it goes for these days.
I would recommend no one buy that book for. Last I saw it was $800.
Gee whiz.
And I also saw it one time, it was $1,500. I'm like, please don't do that. That's just ridiculous. Seriously.
But somebody's buying it. I mean, maybe not for $1,500, but somebody's buying it for $600 and $800,
I don't know. I would say just give me a few more months so I can freaking finish this rewrite of it and then buy it then for, you know, like $30 or something.
Hey, there you go.
I mean, that's a lot better.
I probably will. So, I just because I need to know these things. All right. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm gonna start me a pedal mecation company, and I need to get the book. I hear you're the guy that writes the book.
Well, I it's kind of weird. I guess kind of weird in a way. I was on what channel was that? CS Guitar, maybe, I think, a YouTube channel.
Okay.
And he was talking about like Metal Zone modifications or something, and he. And he named a modification that I've seen it plastered all over the internet, like called the Diesel Mod or something like that, or the Bogner Mod.
Oh, that sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, and so people were asking questions about, like, does it make it sound like a Bogner or a Diesel or whatever? And, like, I'm the one that put that in the book, you know, like 12 years ago.
Right.
And then people, you know, like, read it in the book and then started telling, you know, put it in forums, like, here's the Diesel Mod, you know, do this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to clarify some stuff, and I don't mind the guy talking about it on YouTube at all, not at all, but
right.
But I just, you know, I don't want to spread, you know, misinformation. And I was like, no, literally, the only reason why those are called out is because I was into the M's of the book, and I was running out of names for mods. Like, that's the only reason.
That's funny.
And like. And I was also naive about how trademark law works, so.
Right. Well, that's really interesting because it kind of illustrates the power of, like, suggestion a little bit. Like, because if I seen that, I would automatically assume that it was a high gain thing that was supposed to be similar to something like that, a Bogner or a Diesel.
Right.
Now, granted, it's not going to be exactly that because it's a metal zone. But right. I would have assumed that it would get you in that territory, and that's kind of funny.
I mean, that was that. You know, in retrospect, that was a bad idea. Like, don't do that. You know, don't come out with a modification and call it the plexi drive modification or whatever. You know,
right?
Because more than likely, you're going to get a cease and desist. So, you know.
Yes, you are the Wampler.
You are the Wampler.
That's funny. Especially after seeing that guy.
Yeah, he's a hoot. Like, he's definitely
I can just picture that interaction going on, and it makes me chuckle inside.
Well, you know what's weird is, you know, we talk every now and then to this day, and he actually is a super nice guy in all reality.
Nice.
He actually is. I mean, quirky for sure, very eclectic, but a super nice guy.
I think that comes across in his marketing materials. He is who he is.
He is who he is. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I've never once criticized him at all for wearing weird hats or whatever. You know, that's just stupid. But, I mean, you know, he is who he is, and he's not afraid to show it. And I think that's pretty cool in my book.
Yeah. And he makes cool stuff, too. So that helps.
Yep.
Well, I forget what's his first name, since so everybody knows who we're talking about.
Oh, Reinhold Bogner.
Reinhold. Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
the guy behind Bogner.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're wondering what in the world we're talking about, then you're going to have to dig through some old Chasing Tone episodes.
Because we're not going to rehash all that.
I don't honestly remember what episode it was. I just don't recall. Sorry.
I don't either. Like, it was early, like 20 maybe.
It was something. Yeah. It probably was somewhere between 10 and 25.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because I was on board. Well, I was told about it, but I was on board early on, so I remember all that old stuff.
Yep.
It's not, let me say old, like it's ancient. It's not really that old, but...
Well, you know, a year in, like, guitar pedal land is actually quite a long time, and there's a lot that happens in a year, you know? I mean...
Well, that's true.
I mean, if you think about it, even like 2 years, think about 2 years ago, what was popular, you know? I mean, I think that's about the time that Keighley was like, you know what? I'm back, and I'm going to rock it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on to put out a ton of pedals. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I don't think anyone saw that coming. You would have never predicted that 2 years before that. You know?
No, I wouldn't think so. Like, he was, you know, he made compressors and mods. That's what he did.
Right.
And then, so boom.
Yeah, totally reinvented his business. And good on him, man. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, that's cool to see. I like that.
Yeah. You're right. Things do move fast. And I was like, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that because I had somebody comment somewhere. I can't remember where it was.
Probably the Tone Mob blog. Yeah?
Yeah, it could have been the Tone Mob blog. I don't think it was. But there is a Tone Mob blog.
You
can read all kinds of nonsense from me.
I'm looking at an article right now called If You Have to Ask. ToneMob.com/If You Have to Ask.
That's my rant piece.
That is probably one of my favorite pieces so far. Yes. Yes. Three thumbs up, you know?
Three of them.
Three of
them. Well, thanks, Brian.
Yep.
I just recommend that if there's any builders or other industry guys listening in, which I know there are, anytime you get a request for free stuff from a no-name artist, you can just forward them that article.
And if – and who is it that said this? Somebody said this. I don't even remember who. I just remember it was on Facebook, and someone was like, "I don't want to offend anyone. That's why I'm hesitant here."
Well, be delicate.
It's for the guy that wonders. I wonder how I can get me an endorsement, and there's so much truth to it. It's like, if you have to ask, then the answer probably is no. You're not ready for one, you know? And that's not true across the board. I mean, there's been times, like, for example, I'm trying to think of someone offhand. like Dave Wiener, for example, guy that plays with Steve Vai.
Right.
And has actually become a really good friend of the company. Super, super, super great guy. He had bought some pedals you know? And I'm like,
right.
Wow, that's cool. Dave Wiener. Like, I love your stuff. And he also has a site called Gitopia as well that does a lot of lessons. Just check it out. Super great guy.
Oh, interesting. I'll check that out.
Yeah. And, you know, so it just in the you kind of get to know people, you know, over time. And it's a small world. So especially with people like in the guitar world who buy guitar pedals. So, you know, he bought some stuff. I'm like, man, you know, we're big fans. Maybe you would like an endorsement. You know, I mean, would you like to try something? And, you know, I mean, someone of that caliber, I hate to say that caliber, but I mean, like.
Well, that kind of illustrates the point, though, doesn't it?
In that situation.
Like, he didn't have to ask.
He actually bought stuff full price first. And I came to him and was like, dude, I would love to work with you. You know, we should start a relationship here and date, you know? So
yeah, well, that's where I was kind of going with that article. Like, I mean, yeah, their endorsement deals do kind of work themselves out. Like, sometimes there's times where an established artist will reach out and get an endorsement deal because they're established. That's okay.
There is.
I'm not talking about that guy though. I'm talking about some Joe Blow, and I always have this conversation. This is a kind of a reoccurring topic on my show and in various things. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't listen to your podcast, sorry.
Well, I wouldn't either.
I'm just teasing, man.
But it was for a while. It seemed like for like a good month, like almost every episode that got brought up. But it's like there's a dude who's just like a dude, like just kind of like, I don't know. You know who you are.
He's a guy.
You're like
being a guy. Who's a guy? Who's a guy? Who's a guy? Being a guy.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And he's just going out and he's playing once in a while. And you know, his wife comes to the show. Maybe he's wearing a like a flamed button up bowling shirt and has like a Guy Fieri haircut. I don't know, but like I'm picturing that guy right now for some reason. And you know, he's got like three people in the audience and he's like, I play all the time. I should get an endorsement deal. Well, maybe no, because for a company, an endorsement is an investment and they're kind of hoping for a return on the investment, right?
Right.
And you're not going to get it from that guy, unfortunately.
Right. It no more than, I don't know, let me think of a good job. So let's say that you sell insurance, right?
I
come to you and I'm like,
sell lots of insurance.
And I'm like, I'm Brian Wampler. You may know me. I build guitar pedals. I think you guys should endorse me for free health insurance. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I can use it and I build guitar pedals. So, you know, it's kind of a dangerous thing because I could burn my hand and all that stuff, you know?
Right. And I'll tell all the other pedal guys.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will tell everybody I know about how great your health insurance is. You know, I'll give you free exposure. Yeah, that company is going to say, sorry, but no, you know?
Right.
So.
Right.
Now.
While that same company may give, we'll give Peyton Manning, you know, a couple $1 million and free health insurance to come on our commercial to tell everyone how awesome our health insurance is, because there's millions of people who are looking at Peyton Manning.
Right.
So
yeah, his level
it's kind of the same thing.
High. Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, that's a silly example, but really it still kind of applies, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a fairly good example.
You're welcome to, you know, as long as you pay me royalties, you're welcome to use that in your next blog.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I will pay you all the royalties that I receive.
All I ask is for a fraction of a cent for everything you earn off that, you know, off that blog post.
You know? Maybe we can turn this into an endorsement deal. I mean, I want, you know, one time I played a gig one time, and you know what? There was like probably 100 people there. I didn't have any pedals at the time, but I sure would have been using yours if you would have given me one.
And this is the problem. I don't have an endorsement. That's why I wasn't using your pedals, you know?
And some people do respond that way. They're like, well, how am I supposed to use the pedal if I don't have an endorsement? It's like, no, this is not a chicken or an egg scenario here. there's a store where you buy these things at. And if you really are a fan of the company, you'll go buy them, whether it's a Wampler, whether it's a Keeley, whether it's Electro Harmonix, Boss, or anybody else.
Right.
I know I'm all fired up, Brian. I'm going to write the blog post again just because I'm so mad about it.
Well, I mean, the truth is, and this is a common thing with it, we get that, like, all the companies that you have mentioned in your blog get, I mean, first of all, know that we all talk to each other.
that's probably a really valid point.
Yeah, it's a small community, and we all daily are talking to each other. So if we get an email from a guy and someone else talks about it, and it's like copy and pasted and sent to everybody, we're all like, yeah, not a good idea, man. Come on. At least spend the time to write me a personal email. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But, you know,
I've received these too. This is what's funny. Like, people will dig into the Tone Mob thing and they'll start, like, I don't know. They obviously don't dig very deep, but I actually got a message from a guy that said, "Hello, I want a free pedal." That's what the message said.
Yeah.
That's all it said.
Yeah.
I was like, "Are you?" I just sent him back. I like should have just ignored it, but I sent him back, "Are you serious?"
Oh, here's my response. Me too. You know.
So yeah, I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was. I didn't understand. And he was like, well, and then, so this is how bad this gets. This same guy was like, "But I really like your pedals and I really want to get one of them. I think they're great." I'm like, "Oh, really? All the pedals that I've come out with, huh?" You know?
Well, yeah, exactly. Was it the looper pedal or was it the tuner? You know, which one, right?
Right. Or was it, it must have been that. Must have been my latest delay concept that I came out
of. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean,
for everyone listening, I've never came out with a pedal at this point.
Yeah. I mean,
and I've never suggested that I have.
I mean, a big thing with us is that, like, if a person's looking for, you know, some level of endorsement or sponsorship, I mean, one of the first things we ask is, what pedals of ours are you using? And if they're like, none. Well, then how do you know you want an endorsement from us?
Right.
You're not using our stuff. If you were already using our stuff, then that would like be a checkbox like, this guy's digging our stuff. We should look in further. But if you're like, well, no, you know, I don't use your stuff because I don't have an endorsement. You're probably not a good fit for us, and not even just us, most companies.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, we're really going on this, but It's you don't have to even own the pedal per se or whatever it is. Most of the time, my mouth is failing. This is what happens when I get worked up about a subject.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
Like, let's pretend that I'm Joe Blow Guitar and I'm going to hit you up for an endorsement. If I was going to do that, and I don't really like that idea in the first place, but if I was going to do that, I would go to the local store and I'd go, what Wampler pedals here? I really like this Plexi Drive.
Right.
Because I've been playing it for 20 minutes. You don't even have to buy it. Like, you could go, "Well, Brian, I really like the Plexi Drive." And then at least you know that they've actually put some effort into it.
Right. And they're actually, and legitimately, there are times when people say, "So, do you guys have like any distortions or anything?" And I'm like, have you even seen the website? Like, literally, have you, like, did you jump straight from wherever someone sent our email address to you at and just like, "Free pedals, go here," you know? I mean, I don't get it, but at least know something about us, you know? It is a relationship. It's not just like you sign up and you get free pedals for life or even a discount of pedals. It's a relationship. So we're going to expect things from you as well, you know?
Right.
If you aren't talking about our pedals, I mean, it's not going to be a long relationship, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's,
you know,
so we can sum this episode up totally. You ready for this?
Okay. I do want to mention one more thing, though.
Okay, go for it.
On the same subject.
Yep.
Everyone, including yourself, Brian, should go to Cower Guitars, Doug Cower, and fill out his artist request form.
Spell it.
K-A-U K-A-U-R-E.
No.
K-A-U-E-R.
Right?
E-R. Sorry. Yep, E-R.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. CowerGuitars.com.
And fill out his artist. You know what?
Yeah,
I'm actually going to do that myself, and I'm going to make up some name. It's going to be awesome. Coward.
Oh, it's so funny.
Really?
It's hilarious.
So you fill out an artist endorsement form?
Fill out a request form. Yeah, he's got a request form somewhere on there. I can't remember where it is, but I filled it out one time, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever done.
So let's see. K-A-U-E-R-guitars.com. Clicking on that. Okay.
Oh, you don't want to do it right now.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Okay. I got it. Artist inquiries. Got it.
Yep.
Okay. I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna have some fun with this tonight.
Oh, put your real name in there because it'll make it funnier. It'll make it funnier to him.
Okay. I will then.
Yeah.
I mean, I love you guitars. Do you guys make electrics? Okay.
Actually, he does make really awesome guitars.
Yes, he does.
And all that good stuff, too. And he's funny. But, yeah, everyone will get a kick out of his artist endorsement form.
I will have to check that out. Okay, so let's sum up this
episode. Okay, now you can sum it up.
Let's sum up this episode. Relay bypass, great. True bypass, pretty good. Buffered bypass, every once in a while. And then, on top of that, artist endorsements. Don't do it unless you are completely awesome and ready to basically have a second job promoting a company's product.
There you go. That is a great, great summary.
All right. All right, man. Well, thanks for spending yet another evening with me. If anyone out there has any comments or questions, please email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. You can also hit any one of our numerous Facebook pages. So that could be the Tone Mob Facebook page at this point.
There is a group in there, and Brian's in there too. So
Wampler Pedals Tone Group, Wampler Pedals Facebook/ Wampler Pedals, Instagram Wampler Pedals and Brian Wampler. Or you know what? If you want to be one of the cool kids, just hit me up on Snapchat. My name is Brian Wampler. Send me a funny Snapchat, and I'll get a kick out of it. Send me a serious Snapchat, I'll still respond, but. You know, make me laugh. I like laughing. So, all right, that's it.
There you go.
So that's it for this week, and we'll see you guys next week.